I invite you, if you'd care to turn with me in your Bibles, to the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 21. And as we are making our way through Matthew's Gospel, we are in what is called the Holy Week. It is the last week of Jesus' life and ministry. We are tracing the story at the beginning of chapter 21, the triumphal entry on what is called that Palm Sunday, when Jesus rode into Jerusalem on the back of the colt of the donkey. And then he retires to Bethany for the evening. He comes back into Jerusalem. On the way in, he curses a fig tree. He comes and cleanses the temple of the money changers and those who are buying and selling in the temple of God. He retires again to Bethany. And the next morning, on their way back into Jerusalem, Jesus with his disciples, they see that the fig tree that Jesus cursed is completely withered. And they go into Jerusalem, and again, Jesus enters into the temple. And this is where we find ourselves on Tuesday morning, Jesus coming into the temple in verse 23, and we have this exchange with the scribes of the Pharisees and the teachers of the law. And this is the beginning of an exchange where Jesus will interact with them throughout that day. And in Matthew's gospel, it takes us all the way to the end of chapter 23. So from here to the end of chapter 23, we are on one day of Jesus' interactions with the scribes and the Pharisees and the teachers of the law. And so let us begin to understand what this is all about as we turn now to hear the reading of God's holy and infallible word, Matthew 21, verse 23 through verse 32. Let's give our full attention to God's holy word. And when he entered the temple, the chief priests and the elders of the people came up to him as he was teaching and said, "By what authority are you doing these things? And who gave you this authority?" Jesus answered them, "I also will ask you one question. And if you tell me the answer, then I also will tell you by what authority I do these things. The baptism of John, from where did it come? From heaven or from man?" And they discussed it among themselves, saying, "If we say from heaven, he will say to us, 'Why then did you not believe him?' But if we say from man, we are afraid of the crowd, for they all hold that John was a prophet." So they answered Jesus, "We do not know." And he said to them, "Neither will I tell you by what authority I do these things. What do you think? A man had two sons, and he went to the first and said, 'Son, go and work in the vineyard today.' And he answered, 'I will not.' But afterward, he changed his mind and went. And he went to the other son and said the same. And he answered, 'I go, sir,' but did not go. Which of the two did the will of his father?" They said, "The first." Jesus said to them, "Truly I say to you, the tax collectors and the prostitutes go into the kingdom of God before you. For John came to you in the way of righteousness, and you did not believe him. But the tax collectors and the prostitutes believed him. And even when you saw it, you did not afterward change your minds and believe him." Thus far, the reading of God's word. Well, have you ever witnessed this scenario or something like it? You have a couple of children playing together, and then before long, one of those children becomes, shall we say, assertive, and begins to take charge and to direct what should be done in the way that the play ought to be carried out. And the other child responds, "You're not the boss of me." Well, that is what's happening here in our passage. The scribes and the Pharisees are really, in a sense, coming to Jesus to say, "You're not the boss of me." What is the word that appears throughout this little section to begin with, verses 23 through 27? It is the word authority. It is about Jesus' authority and the way that the leaders of Israel are challenging Jesus' authority. Did you notice there in verse 23, "By what authority are you doing these things? And who gave you this authority?" And at the end, verse 27, "Neither will I tell you by what authority I do these things." It is the question of Jesus' authority. And in this little passage, specifically there in verse 23, the leaders of Israel are trying to trap Jesus, and they want to ask him, they want to drive him to answer, "Who gave you this authority? What is the source of your authority?" Now, these leaders are presuming something. They are presuming that they are the rightful authority over Israel. They have the authority in the temple and in the synagogues. They have the authority as they are tied to even governmental positions of rule over Israel under the Romans. They are the ones who claim that Abraham is their father, that they are students of Moses, that they are the guardians of the law, and they determine what is righteous and what is unrighteous in the practice and behavior of the people of God. They come challenging Jesus. Who does he think he is? This one who has come and cleansed the temple, who has healed the lame and the blind, who is now again teaching the Word of God. Jesus does not, in human terms, have the credentials that they would recognize. And they are seeking to discredit his authority in the eyes of the people. Now, we are in the last week of Jesus' ministry and life. This has been a mounting, growing tension between Jesus and the leaders of Israel throughout Matthew's gospel. And remember, the issue of authority has been there at the very beginning of Matthew's gospel. Do you remember when Jesus opens his teaching on the Sermon on the Mount? And in chapter 5 and 6 and 7, we have that wonderful sermon or exposition from Jesus on the Mount. Jesus is portrayed here as the greater than Moses, who has come to fulfill the law and the prophets, who has come to bring the kingdom of God in its reality and in its fullness, that which had been expected so long before in the Old Testament scriptures. And at the end of that sermon, at the end of chapter 7, we read that when Jesus finished these sayings, the crowds were astonished at his teaching, for he was teaching them as one who had authority and not as their scribes. What a remarkable statement. The people who heard Jesus at the beginning of his ministry, they recognize that he has an authority that the leaders of Israel do not possess, that his teaching penetrates even to the core of their very beings as he uncovers and illustrates and presents the unchanging truth of God's Word in all of its fullness. And it is that Word which cries out with the authority of God Himself. For it is the very Word of God that comes from Jesus' lips. But the teachers and the leaders of Israel, they do not possess that authority. Why? What has been the big issue between Jesus and these leaders? It's that they have substituted their own teaching, their own opinions, in place of God's Word. They have made up rules, regulations, rituals, and furthermore, they have insisted that it is the doing of these things that earns righteousness in God's sight. And instead, what Jesus has come to disclose is the utter depravity of our sinful condition. And the only remedy is in the righteousness of God revealed in the Scriptures, yes, but also in particular revealed in the person and work of Jesus Himself, who has come to accomplish all righteousness and to bring salvation to His people. Why are we setting the stage like this? It is because the first part, verses 23 through 27, it is about the source of authority. And then there is this parable that illustrates the implications of God's authority. And you'll notice the connection, right? That Jesus brings up the question of John the Baptist's ministry. Is it from heaven or from man? He returns at the end of this little parable about the two sons. He returns to the topic of John and his ministry again. And so these two passages are tied together. The little parable is the first of three parables that will set forth the implications of God's authority in and through Jesus Christ, and will, by way of implication as well, or by way of consequence, it will bring condemnation and judgment upon the religious leaders of Israel. Let's look then at these two things, the source of authority and the implications of the authority of God. The question that the Pharisees, through their elders and priests, chief priests and scribes, it is a question of the authority of Jesus. Is it from God or not? They believe that they are from God. But what we see is we see that things are going to be turned upside down. that there is a reversal that is taking place, that the scribes and the chief priests and the teachers of Israel who are coming to trap Jesus, it is they who are going to be caught in a quandary. It is they who come to judge Jesus, to hold judgment over him, to discredit him. It is they who in the end become under the judgment of God's authority and are discredited because they have forsaken the truth of God's word. And so as we look at this exchange, we see that the issue of authority is one that Jesus is going to answer. This question is going to be answered by way of posing another question. So Jesus says, you've asked me a question, I'm going to ask you a question. And if you answer this question, then I will give you an answer about your question. By what authority I do these things. Now it's important to see that Jesus is not avoiding the question. He's not skirting the issue. He's not trying to trick them in some way. In fact, this was even a common form of debate in that time, that to answer a question in a debate would happen by way of counter-questioning. And so Jesus is not doing something that is sneaky. He's not trying to avoid the force of their question. In fact, he, through his counter question, is really getting at the heart of the issue. He's ultimately answering this question. What is it that Jesus asks? Verse 25. The baptism of John, from where did it come? From heaven or from man? Now, the baptism of John is not just speaking about the act of performing baptisms in the Jordan River. This is a way of referring to the entire ministry of John. And what is it that John came to do? John came to be the forerunner of the king. He came to prepare the way for the arrival of the King of Heaven. John is the last of the Old Testament prophets who came as a messenger to prepare the people for the one who would follow after him. And who is that one? It is the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, John's baptism, his ministry of baptizing in the Jordan River in the wilderness, was a baptism of repentance. In other words, his entire ministry to prepare the way for the coming of the Lord was focused on the fact that if we are sinners who have fallen short of the righteousness of God in our thoughts, words, and deeds, that the only proper preparation for meeting the King of Heaven, who is perfect in holiness, righteousness, and glory, is that we should repent. We should turn from our sin, confess our sin, and seek the grace and mercy and favor of God. That was the significance of John's ministry. Now, Jesus, back in chapter 11, I want to point this out, that there is a connection that is important for us to see between him and John, as John is the forerunner. Back in Matthew chapter 11, Jesus refers to John as a prophet but more than a prophet. And in verse 10, he quotes from Malachi, the last prophet of the Old Testament. And he says, this was written in Malachi about John. Behold, I send my messenger before your face, who will prepare your way before you. Now, if we turn to Malachi 3, where that quote is taken, notice what Malachi 3 has to say. It goes on to speak not only about the messenger who prepares the way before the coming of the Lord, but it goes on to say this, and the Lord, whom you seek, will suddenly come to his temple, and the messenger of the covenant in whom you delight. Behold, he is coming, says the Lord of hosts. But who can endure the day of his coming? And who can stand when he appears? For he is like a refiner's fire and like fuller's soap. He will sit as a refiner and purifier of silver, and he will purify the sons of Levi and refine them like gold and silver, and they will bring offerings in righteousness to the Lord. Notice what Malachi is saying. That when the day of God's visitation comes, right, there will be a messenger, a forerunner, who will prepare the way. Jesus says in Matthew 11, that's John the Baptist. It's through his ministry of repentance to prepare the way for the coming of the Lord. What does that mean then that about Jesus? Jesus is the Lord. Jesus is God come in the flesh. Jesus is the one who's coming to enter into his temple like a refiner's fire, like a fuller's soap. He is the one who comes to purify his people. Now, what has Jesus just done? He went into the temple and he cleansed the temple. Everything that he's doing is to show that he has been authorized as the Lord's Messiah to come to purify his people, to bring condemnation upon those who will not repent, but ultimately to save as well those who with contrite hearts turn from their sin and look to him to be the Savior. Why is Jesus bringing this counter question about John? Because the two hang together. What you say about John and his ministry, you will say about Jesus and his ministry. If John's ministry is from heaven, it is clear then that Jesus' ministry is from heaven. If John is the messenger preparing the way, the prophet from God, then Jesus is the Lord himself who has come to bring the refining fire. If you reject John, then you reject Jesus. If you embrace John, then you will embrace the one who to whom John points. Do you see what Jesus is doing? Jesus is turning this question of authority back upon them, these leaders of Israel. And brothers and sisters and friends, he's turning this question of authority back upon us. You see, in this passage, there can only be two possible sources for your authority. What you would follow, where you look as a standard for your way of life. You will either look to yourselves or to humanity, or you will look to God and to his authority. There's no middle ground. There's no neutrality. And you see what Jesus is doing is he is exposing the hypocrisy of these leaders. They claim to have the authority. They claim to be authorized by God as the leaders of Israel. But they have substituted in place of God's true authority through His Word their own opinions, their own ideas, their own man-made teachings. And they now are in danger. They are in danger of coming under the judgment of God because they have rejected God's authority and the expression of that authority through God's ordained messengers. 1 John, secondly, the Messiah Himself, the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, that question of authority is not only relevant for these leaders in Israel, it is a question that is relevant for us today. To whom are we looking as the source of our authority? Is it God's Word? Is it what God has revealed? Is it then ultimately God Himself? Or are we looking to ourselves? Are we looking to humanity as the source for the way that we live our lives? Well, these leaders find themselves in a quandary. Why? Because as they discuss the question among themselves, and you see the way that they think here, if we say that John's baptism, his ministry, is from heaven, from God, then we are opening ourselves up to the charge of condemnation, of judgment. Why then, if John is from God, did you not believe John? Why did you reject John? Why did you revile John? Why did you stand against him? For ultimately, you are rejecting God's authority. You are standing against God. If John is a true prophet. But they said, if we say from man, we can't do that. Why? Because of the crowds. Notice what the text says. We are afraid of the crowd, for they all hold that John was a prophet. You see, just as the crowds were amazed at the authority of Jesus and His teaching, so also before Jesus, they recognized the hallmark of God's authority in the teaching, the preaching, and the ministry of John the Baptist. And notice what these leaders are saying. We are afraid of what the people will think of us more than we are afraid of standing against God. Now, notice what this does, what this says about their authority. Because what it says about their authority is true about all human authority. That if we are finding our source of authority in this world, in the things of this world, in the opinions and the polls that are taken among the people of this world, if we are allowing what is important to us and what is to be accepted and what is to be the standard of life to be determined by what people think, what does that say about your authority? It really is no true authority at all, is it? You see, the Pharisees' authority is resting on the approval of the people, of the opinion of the people, of the acceptance of the people. They are afraid of the crowds. But the authority of God shines like a light in the darkness. And it is a light that can never be put out. Because you see, the light of God's truth will shine, will stand against all opposition. And God will not allow His authority to ever be overturned by the opposition of humanity, by the opinions of people. And it is Jesus who is highlighting here the emptiness and the vanity of this so-called authority among the leaders of Israel, for they have forsaken the true source of all authority in God's revealed will. Now, what do these leaders do? How are they going to answer? They're going to plead the fifth. They're going to say, we don't know. Now, it becomes clear in this passage that they are not only forsaking their calling as leaders to discern the truth and to proclaim it, but by their confessed ignorance, they speak more truly than they even realize. Without even judging their motives, which it seems by implication, right, that the motivation is the fear of man and they do not want to answer. That's why they say we don't know. Not because they really don't know, but they don't want to acknowledge the truth that they seek to escape from. But when they confess their ignorance, you see, this is a confession that truly describes their spiritual condition. They are strangers to the truth of God's Word. They are ignorant of a knowledge of God. Their confession speaks volumes about their spiritual condition. Well, Jesus will not answer them. They do not really want to hear the truth outrightly. But what we're going to see next week is how Jesus answers the Pharisees through this parable and through the parables that will follow. And as we come back to this passage, Jesus tells a parable not just to make plain or to make clear the truth, but in one sense, it is a means of bringing division. What do we mean by that? Remember, the parables have a double side to them. One side is that it will illuminate the truth to those who have ears to hear and hearts to receive it. Those who want to know will profit from, will benefit from the parables. But on the other hand, those who are stubborn in their hard-heartedness, the parables will actually serve to increase their blindness, to increase the hardness of their hearts. And so as Jesus will be speaking in parables again, it highlights the real issue that is before us today. And that is the issue of who is the boss of you. These religious leaders claim to know God. They claim to be from God. But they, in essence, deny Him by their resistance to the truth and their resistance to change their minds and their hearts to accept and to submit to the authority of God. Today, we need to hear that word. For you see, all of us who claim to know the Lord, there are things in our lives. There are perhaps areas in our thoughts, in our hearts, in our speech patterns, in our behaviors, that serve to undermine the claim that the Lord is our master, that He is our boss, that we belong to Him. And the question of authority must be answered. It's something that cannot be truly, ultimately avoided. Either we will continue to make ourselves or the things of this world the source of our authority in these areas of our lives, or we will relinquish them to the ultimate authority of God. You see, Jesus' counter question is one that serves us today, because it's driving us to look to God's Word and to recognize that His Word is what He has given as the criteria for what we believe and how we should live. Are we this morning able to recognize and able to embrace the authority of God over our lives? The prophecy about John and about Jesus in Malachi is a promise from the Old Testament that when God visits through the person of His Son, that He will come to purify His people. Beloved, this is what our Savior has done when He went to the cross. This is the message of the resurrection, that Jesus has satisfied the justice of God through His death, that He has been raised by the power of God in order to give us new life. And so as we look to the Lord this morning, our hope for submitting to His authority is found through faith in Christ. May we look to Jesus. May we see how Jesus submitted Himself to the will of the Father even unto death, in order to bring us from our place of rebellion into his kingdom to become his servants. Let's pray. Lord, we would ask that you will use your word today in our lives to wrestle with the question of authority and the source of authority in our lives. O Lord, may you convict us of those things in us that are displeasing to you. May we not run from that, but may we run to you and submit to your word and seek to do your will and to live lives that are pleasing before you. We thank you for the ministry of John the Baptist that made so clear that the beginning of the path of blessing is found by way of repentance and humbling ourselves before you, and how Jesus came to complete the ministry of John by actually opening up the way of salvation through his own death and his resurrection from the grave. And we would pray, Lord, that through our faith in Christ, that we may also grow in our love for your lordship, that we would delight to call you our master, and that we, O Lord, would live in submission to your will. We thank you for your grace which is sufficient for us. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.